Hi, I'm Lori Pickens, a photographer and photo educator. I'm passionate about helping photographers just like you get profitable and productive in their own businesses. As a mom to three kiddos, I know how hard it can be to juggle all the demands of life. But I also know that it's possible to have a successful business and a happy family. And that's why I created Photo Goals, a podcast for creative business owners who want to learn tangible steps to automate their business through workflows, systems, tools, and strategy in order to go from scattered to streamlined with purpose. On each episode, I'll share simple, actionable strategies and systems that photographers at every level of experience can use. No fluff, just the good stuff. I can't wait to help you achieve your photography goals. Let's do this. Welcome back to Photo Goals, your one-stop shop for all things photography. Today, we're venturing into a realm of overwhelming nostalgic charm and creative possibilities, one of my very favorite topics, film photography. So whether you're a seasoned digital photographer looking for a new challenge, or you're a complete beginner curious about the world of analog, this episode is for you. I suppose that you could call me a hybrid photographer. I still shoot most of my images with my mirrorless, or, you know, if I'm shooting a wedding, with also with my DSLR. But film has certainly captured a special place in my heart. There's just this unexplainable, unique quality of images captured on film. So the first thing we're going to talk about, why film? So if you already have a fancy mirrorless camera, you might be thinking, well, why film? And I'm not your typical story of I started shooting film in high school and I yearned to go back, or I'm not that scenario of what you hear of many film photographers, that that's what they fell in love with photography first, grew their digital skills, and then like to go back to their roots. I actually started with digital, and I was fairly successful and comfortable shooting in digital. Too comfortable, actually. For me, I found my way to film photography, searching for inspiration and a new challenge. I feel personally like I grow the most when I'm learning something new. And for me, film was very new and very different. And it was a challenge that I needed and fell in love with. The best thing that film has done for me is to teach me to slow down and really choose my shots. You'll learn very quickly when literally every press of that shutter button costs you money, that you need to think through your image and the moments that you select. And what's awesome is this is even carried over into my digital work. And I find myself spending less time culling because I'm more conscious of the images I take. You break those habits of pray and spray, you know, where you're just constantly shooting through things. Another great thing about film is the thrill of anticipation. Not seeing your photos instantly adds this layer of excitement and surprise when you finally develop your film or get your scans back. I cannot tell you how much scan day will fill you with happiness. You know, it's more like a goal that you get instantly versus something that you've worked for and looked forward to, and you count off the days on your calendar, that kind of thing. You mail this film away and then you wait. And when you finally get that email of happiness has been delivered, you know, and it really feels that way, that you build this excitement to see what you created when you don't have that instant gratification. A few things that we need to talk about for film photography, obviously, is your equipment. So choosing your camera. You can find a variety of affordable used film cameras online. I know I bought a couple from K, that's K-E-H. If you're lucky enough to have a local photography store, they may have things like that, like vintage cameras or shops. I know some people have gotten great ones at, you know, auctions or in their grandparents' basements, things like that. So research different models and find one that fits your budget and your style. There are two main types of film cameras, 35 millimeter and then a medium format, which is 120 millimeter. If you're starting out in film, I usually recommend starting with the 35 millimeter camera in the brand that you currently use. So if you're already shooting Nikon, go find yourself a Nikon. If you shoot Canon, go find yourself a Canon. A lot of them, the gears will be similar to what your fingers and thumbs are already used to doing. And you might even be able to reuse many of the lenses that you already own. I started with a Nikon F100, that I bought used from another photography friend. And the control is still very similar to my DSLR. I had the Nikon D5, I think, at the time. And all of my extensive lenses work perfectly on the F100. If you are a Canon user, the Rebel 2000, I think, is usually a recommendation I hear, or the Elan 7, if I'm saying that right. Okay, so with any type of photography, one of your main things that you need to learn is understanding exposure. Film photography requires a good grasp of aperture, shutter speed, and ISO. So that exposure triangle is going to carry you through whether you are digital or analog. Familiarize yourself with the exposure triangle and practice taking light meter readings. So just like with digital, you're going to have to choose all three of your settings. Some film cameras will have an internal light meter. My F6 has a fabulous internal light meter. I have two F100s now, and one of them does a good job and one of them doesn't. So you need to learn your camera and the capabilities that it has. You can get an external light meter. It looks more like a stopwatch and will give you a light meter reading. I recommend getting one and using it with your internal camera light meter until you learn kind of how that camera reads and whether or not you can trust your internal light meter. So with film, you have a thing called buck speed. And you can think of this in terms of your ISO. So with film, as opposed to digital, you need to decide on your ISO and keep that for the entire roll of film. Buck speed is the ISO the manufacturer recommends shooting your film at. You can read it on the side of the film box or the film canister, and it's usually in the name of the film. So, for example, my very favorite film is Kodak Portra 400. So, the number one rule that I have with film is film loves light. Loves light. With digital, I will frequently underexpose. If I want to maintain highlights in the sky, or if I don't want to blow hair lights in a person's hair, I actually underexpose and then correct that in post. But with film, I actually lean the other direction. It's often better to overexpose your film than it is to underexpose it. As I mentioned earlier about box speed and ISO, box speed is just the manufacturer's recommendation. But you can actually, what they call rate, I'm using air quotes on that, your film at something other than the box speed. So rating is what ISO you're telling your meter you're shooting at. So you're not actually changing anything with the film or your settings or the image that's being captured. It's just your internal meter is going to read like the ISO was set to that. So if I'm shooting Kodak Portra 400, I actually like to rate it at 200, meaning I set my ISO to 200 and I'm overexposing the whole roll by a step. So I'm adding the overexposure, but my brain's not having to backpedal and rethink that every time. Like every time I look at the picture, I'm just zeroing my light meter to where I want it to be. And I'm not having to think, oh, I actually want to overexpose this film. So I'm going to add a stop. There are various types of film and each have its own characteristics. There are some brands that are going to be warmer. There are some brands that are going to produce reds differently. You need to try different films. Decide what you like. I even like different film stocks for different occasions. I have a film stock that I like at the beach. I like film stocks that I had for winter. Some that do really cool things if you're, you know, in an arcade and doing colorful lights. But if you're just starting out, I recommend getting some kind of versatile ISO film, like a 200 ISO or a 400 ISO that you underrate or that you rate to 200. Kodak Portra 400 has the most beautiful skin tones. That's why it's my favorite. I shoot a lot of portraits, and these creamy skin tones are what I look for. So that's my go-to. Where to buy film? I like to buy my film from my preferred lab, which is Richard Photo Lab. If I'm looking for specialty stocks, I like to get them from B&H. You can get film on Amazon. Just read the seller reviews. Make sure that you check the expiration date when you get it.
it's actually okay to shoot experimental film. I have some film friends that actually love experimental. But for each decade past expiration, you want to lower the ISO by one step. So if the film has 400 ISO and it's been 10 years out of date, you're going to drop it down to 200. Another alternative, instead of overexposing the film, or even if you're, at an ISO that you can't go lower, you can push it in development. If it's extremely old film, you may want to use a combination of overexposure and push processing, which leads us into the next topic of developing your film.
Once you've captured your first roll, it's time for the exciting part, developing your film. You can choose to develop your own at home, but that requires a dark room and setup. I personally always send mine to a lab. If you decide to send your film away to be developed, you'll want to pack it up and ship it to your processing lab once you've shot your rolls. You can check their website for instructions. They will develop your rolls, scan the film, and send you back images as JPEGs. All of my film images actually come to me as a digital JPEG. You can try different labs if you want to see different results, but at some point, I recommend picking a lab and building a relationship with them. It's kind of almost like having an editor, that you have this person that's going to learn your style and your preferences, and you can say, I'd like to add some contrast, but mine skin tones, things like that. And they're usually people who also love photography and will understand, it's not Walmart. It's not some person that's no idea what they're doing and is just scanning your film and pushing you through. Most of the people that work at these film labs are well trained on their equipment and will do a good job of creating, taking your film and producing something quality. I personally love Richard Photo Lab. They are always great at answering my questions, giving me feedback, and tweaking my scans to meet my style and preferences. Other labs that film friends of mine have recommended are the Find Lab, Indie Film Lab, PhotoVision, and Miller's Lab, which I use for prints, actually develops and scans films also. There's a whole lot of other things that you can do if the ISO that you have is not adequate or doesn't meet the need. If you've put in ISO 400, you're probably thinking to yourself, there's lots of times I need to go past ISO 400 when I'm shooting things. But you can have your film pushed or pulled in development, which actually adjusts the exposure. And again, having a processing lab handle some of that for you. Basically, they leave the film in longer or shorter, depending on if you need additional exposure or less exposure. So another question that I get all the time, can you edit film analog? And you can't. You can still edit your film scan just like you would a digital image. You may not have all the flexibility that you have with a raw file, but I still load all of my film scans into Lightroom. I still run them through all my renaming and workflow and backup, and I can do minor tweaks or straighten or crop or remove distractions from the frame. Anything else that I want to do, anything that you can do on a JPEG, you can do on a film scan. So where it becomes really fun is once you've learned the basics of film photography, there's this whole other world of potential and opportunities. You can get so creative with film photography, with light leaks or double exposures or blind exposures. There's cool film called color negative film, which is like psychedelic with blues or double film jelly that just create colors and film soup. There's this whole other realm of possibilities that you're physically creating. And for me, I think what I love about film photography is it takes some of that control that I think is ingrained in me, that I want to overthink and set things up certain ways. And, if you're shooting on film photography and there's a light leak, you're not controlling where that light leak shows up or film soup. It's literally, you're just putting your film into a concoction of stuff and being surprised with how it comes out. Obviously you're making creative choices and you're deciding certain things or where to place things or how much light is exposed to your film. But there's just this added step of magic that comes back that you cannot control.
which is pretty awesome if you're a control person like me.
The internet is a treasure trove of information for aspiring photographers. There's online tutorials, photography blogs, YouTube channels. I actually have a class called Intro to Film Photography, which has lots of examples, some of my favorite film stocks and how I rate them. It goes into exploring and experimentation and not only learning the basics and the things that you need to get started in film photography, but then learning from them, making those mistakes, refining your skills, and enjoying the process. So if that's something that sounds interesting to you, it's going to be coming out very soon, and I will have a link to the waitlist in the show notes. I encourage you to take the lead and dive into the world of film photography. It's a great creative boost. It's a challenge that you may not have been able to experience with, you know, basic digital photography, and it's going to enhance your overall skills as a whole, because you're having to look at a frame and decide, is this where I want my light source? You have to slow down and make those choices of, is my composition right now before I take the image? There's just so much that you slow down and will learn and grow from. So I hope that you fall in love with film photography like I have. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to DM me. And if you've shot your first roll of film and are waiting for those digital scans, take a screenshot of this podcast and hit me up in the DMs and or your stories and let me know.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Photo Goals. If you enjoyed this content, it would mean the world to me if you left a review or send this to your business bestie. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss the next episode. And as always, check out the show notes for links to all my resources and info.
And as I tell my kids every day, be kind and make good choices.
Thanks for listening to Guiding Leader of You.